morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Tom Capone, Executive Director of the NYDLA, for another session of Coffee in the Clouds. Today we have Ryan Shearman, co-founder, CEO of Fuser Technologies, Inc. And ladies and gentlemen, you have to check out this website, FUSAR.com. Fuser, our mission is to create products that define the connected action sports experience. Fuser hardware promotes safety and enjoyment by keeping users connected to the digital world. Ryan, welcome to Coffee in the Clouds.
Tom, hey, thanks for having me.
I'm going to get right to it, man. Tell me about how the company was founded. What is the backstory on this company?
Oh, where to begin? We are a group of lifelong friends, my co-founders and I, action sports nuts, product development people, generally speaking. Todd, our chief designer, I met first in homeroom, going all the way back to my freshman year of high school. He was always the guy doodling in his notebook and, you know, grew up to become one of the most talented designers I've ever met. Got him on board with our other co-founder, Clayton, my lifelong best friend. We all ride motorcycles together. We're all action sports nuts, as I mentioned. And we wanted to build tech products that really eliminate a lot of the pain points introduced by other consumer goods that we've used. We're taking an approach very similar to companies like Apple that have built platform products, and those products kind of interact with other products within an ecosystem. And that's really what we're building, but we're doing it in a way that caters to action sports. So whether that be riding motorcycles, bicycles, skiing and snowboarding, skateboarding, rollerblading, if you're on the move and you're wearing a helmet, I want you to be my customer. So going back a bit, we founded the company in the fall of 2013, and it was just the three of us kind of meeting at a Starbucks in Hoboken, New Jersey, right in the shadows of the city. We did that for a couple months and realized that, you know, we thought we were onto something. In the beginning, it wasn't a modular universal smart helmet kit. We were building a single smart helmet. More or less all of the same tech that we've got in our current system. We've added some more since then. And it wasn't until about probably 6 months ago, maybe a little bit longer than 6 months ago, that we decided to encapsulate our technology into a universal system that you could attach to any helmet type. So we would open up our market opportunity to include other verticals. It would be a more widely appealing product. But also, you know, I myself have more than one motorcycle helmet. I have a snowboarding helmet, a skydiving helmet. Why should I pony up $1,500 for a specific product that has one specific look that I can only use for one specific sport when I can buy a modular system for a fraction of the cost and do it in a way that allows me to bring it from helmet to helmet? And that's really where we're at today.
Wow. So the idea for the all-in-one device, did this come to you in a dream? I mean, how where did the idea come from?
Well, I mean, real life, and I mean that in two ways. One, the beginning when we started with a motorcycle helmet, that was inspired after a motorcycle accident I was in here in New York City. I was riding my motorcycle to work. I used to work down in Tribeca, live in Bergen County, so I was coming down the West Side Highway, and an inattentive driver hit me from behind. I had a pretty nasty accident. I was pretty banged up, and for the first time in my adult life, I considered, you know, stopping riding motorcycles, and ended up kind of hitting the workshop and ended up building a helmet that made me feel more comfortable on the road. So it was very much organic in nature, where the idea came from. And I just use a lot of my experience from riding and understanding the use case really well and applying that to the product. But also looking at, you know, what Apple did. I used to carry a digital camera and an MP3 player and a flip phone, and then Apple introduced the iPhone, and it's all of that plus a calculator, a web browser, and so much more. Why should I have a communication system mounted to my helmet and an action camera and have a navigation on my handlebars and then have a couple other extraneous devices, maybe like a Fitbit to track my activity, a crash. Now there's just recently there have been a couple crash systems, crash alert systems that you can mount to your motorcycle. If I'm going to go do that, it's multiple purchases. It's going to cost me $2,000, or I can buy one system, you know, for a fraction of that cost that does it all in one. I mean, that's a no-brainer to me. I saw it happen with cell phones. We want to build a platform device that people can build software for, that people can build hardware for, to enhance the, you know, overall value of the ecosystem and build up that network effect.
Got it. So here's a question for you. How does your camera compare to, let's say, GoPro?
We spent months working with different vendors to really lock down a fantastic supply chain. In fact, we're using the same SoC vendor that GoPro uses, a company called Ambrella. They arguably are making some of the best SoCs for video-based applications in the world. We have a Sony CMOS image sensor. On, you know, an apples-to-apples comparison, we're going to have that same high-quality imagery that you can capture with a GoPro Hero 4, you know, the new camera line that they have out. However, the GoPro is still just a camera. Ours is a camera. It's an activity tracker. It's a digital black box, an emergency response system. You can listen to your music. You can get GPS navigations. There's the Rangeless communication device that is kind of a part of our ecosystem as well. A GoPro, you know, is a single-purpose product. They're very versatile, and there are use cases that, you know, the GoPro will be more appropriate. It, mounted to a helmet is certainly not one of them.
Got it. Now, the video on your website speaks of the Hotshot feature. Tell me about that.
So, yeah, Hotshot is something we're really excited about. It's a patent-pending feature. It really enables you to have a retroactive capability to post live video bursts to social media. So, in the event that you're riding down the road, actually, let me preface this with a simple question. Have you ever seen like one of those crazy Russian dash cam videos on the internet?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Right. So you see the tank driving across the street or a meteorite in the sky. These are like crazy things in life that happen that you can only capture, you know, if you have like a dash cam constantly running, because you can never plan for these moments. Our system kind of lends itself, you know, based on that concept to, but we take it one step further. We give you the opportunity at the push of a button on our handlebar remote. So you never have to take your hands off the handlebars if you're riding a bicycle or a motorcycle, ATV, personal watercraft. If you're skiing and snowboarding, it's a wrist-mounted control. You simply press two buttons, the last 15 seconds of whatever was happening. You don't have to be actively recording. There's a buffer system that's in a constant looping state. You grab that last 15 seconds, it goes through your data connection to the cloud and posts right into your social stream. If you link to your other social media accounts, you can push that content to other platforms as well.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, what about range? Like you have rider-to-rider communication feature. What's the range on that?
So because our system is cloud-based, as long as you have some level of connectivity to a mobile network, you know, via your cell phone, for instance, you have access to our comms. We've demonstrated this coast-to-coast in the U.S. We kind of have, you know, negligible latency conversations. It's push-to-talk. So I want to clarify, it's not like a full duplex telephone conversation. It's more akin to having a walkie-talkie. We view that as being a little bit more succinct. And it enhances the quality of the conversation because it's generally a little bit more intent-based than rambling about random topics of conversation. We noticed that in comparison when we ski and snowboard and we use walkie-talkies on the mountain, we enjoy it a little bit more than when we snowboard and we're pulling out our phones to call one another. It lends to a different experience. There's the group chat connectivity that enables you to kind of have that old school experience, but in a new way. And since it's going over the cloud, range is not an issue.
Now, what if I already have a Bluetooth headset? What if I already own one?
So if you have a Bluetooth headset, you don't have to buy ours. Of course, I'd love for you to buy ours. It's specifically designed and optimized for working with our other products. However, if you have you're one of the leading companies in the market right now, Sina. I formerly used to ride Sina exclusively. The 20S is a fantastic piece of equipment. If you bought it, you paid over $200 for it. I don't want you to have to go and buy a new headset, so you can continue to use yours. Our system is agnostic. It can work with more or less any third-party Bluetooth headset. you have access to our unlimited range comms because you're no longer going peer-to-peer. You're connecting your device to your phone. You don't no longer have to worry about 500 yards of range. You have to worry about 4 feet, head to pocket.
Got it. Now, right here on the on your website says Mohawk is an action camera, communication system, navigation unit, activity tracker, and emergency response system all rolled into one. Let's talk a little bit more about safety. How does this going to help me keep safe?
So because Mohawk is equipped with a wide range of onboard sensors, we can grab input and run them through an algorithm and determine whether or not there's been a collision scenario. We do this through a bit of big learning, big data, machine learning. Dan, our CTO, has a strong background with similar, we'll call them computational tasks. And you know, we've built out models that can identify whether or not you've your profile of a acceleration curve and data from your gyroscope and data from your GPS sensor tell you, you know, this period of events very likely indicates an accident, at which point the system will lock down the last 2 minutes of video using basically the same video loop that the hotshot feature uses, but a longer duration. It grabs the last 2 minutes and it write protects that. So you have a full record of what happened leading up to the crash, the wipeout, whatever it might have been. Then the system also pings your phone and your mobile device sends an alert to our cloud servers, at which point we will send text message and email alerts to 3 pre-configured emergency contacts. So we call them your guardian angels. The system provides them with your location on a GPS map, your location on a map. Your GPS location is a little bit more accurate than some other services you might have seen because of the GPS module that we're using inside of Mohawk. It has its own dedicated GPS line. And then you will also will be providing your emergency contacts with the phone numbers and locations of the 3 nearest EMS dispatchers. So for perspective, just in the United States, there are over 15,000 EMS dispatchers. And you know, so it's hundreds and hundreds of dispatchers all in every state across the country. So no matter where you are, we'll understand who the 3 nearest are and provide your loved ones with the means to reach out to them on your behalf so that you always have someone looking out for you. It's a multifaceted approach that we believe helps you beforehand, after, during an accident. It's, you know, we're taking a multidirectional approach that we view is going to provide, you know, extra layers of safety to users on the road, on the mountain, on the water, you know, anywhere where a helmet is being worn.
So let's say I'm your guardian angel and I start getting these alerts. What do I do?
So it would first tell you that your contact, me in this instance, has been in an accident. It would have some of my pertinent, you know, information, which you would obviously recognize as being all accurate, knowing that you're one of my EMS contacts. Generally, these are going to be your friends, your family, people that know you closely, and then it shows the map. So you can pinch and zoom. You can see exactly where I am so that when you call the police, whose phone numbers are provided right below that, you know I'm at the corner of Maple and Columbus. And you can dictate that to the 911 dispatcher, you know, very easily, even if you're in a different state. Because if you were in California and I was in an accident here in the greater New York City area, you can't pick up the phone and call 911. It will connect you to the closest EMS, you know, or the closest 911 provider to your location. That's why we provide the local phone numbers. You would simply pick up the phone and call the police, report the accident, and then rest assured that, you know, the people who are most able to help me are en route.
Hmm. Wow. It's okay. That's pretty impressive. Let's talk batteries. What about battery life? And can the battery, I'm assuming, obviously, that it's a rechargeable battery. Can it be recharged from the bike?
So if you are on a motorcycle or a snowmobile or any powered vehicle that has a energy source, then, yeah, you could absolutely tap in and simply run the device while it's working. Similarly, if you have an external battery of your own that you'd like to use, you could run a cable up. It charges via micro USB. We have what we call our pod batteries. They're going to be small external batteries. You can basically get 4 hours of life out of the device on a single charge. Charge time from dead is about 2.5 hours. But if you carry 2 pods with you, you have enough juice for a whole day's worth of use. So, I mean, if we want to go back to the GoPro comparison, I'll carry 6 or 7 spare GoPro batteries for a full day of snowboarding. So we're doing it in a way, you know, slightly bigger batteries. We have a different form factor that accommodates it. But rather than having swappable batteries, we have a completely sealed device that enables us to maintain the waterproof integrity of the exterior. Our handlebar and wrist-mounted remote are super low-power devices. They're operated off of coin cell batteries, and they will last for an entire year of use before needing a replacement. And it's something you can get at every Duane Reade. I think I just put a 6-pack for about $8.
Wow. Wow. That's fantastic. Now, how about when I'm not on a motorcycle? What are applications, what are uses for Mohawk when I'm not on a bike?
So as I alluded to earlier, riding a bicycle is probably as relevant as riding a motorcycle, especially here in New York City. Riding a road bike, or if you're upstate riding a mountain bike, downhill mountain bike especially, you want to have that ability to capture. If I'm using a GoPro and it's in video mode, I can't very easily switch it to photo mode. So if I'm just cruising and I'm not recording anything and I see something I would like to take a photo of, it's not really an easy flow for that to happen with a GoPro. And then you have to wait till you get home till you can view that media and share it with your friends and put it on YouTube. For us, everything kind of syncs to the phone. It's all automated, so you can review as you do it. In order to take a picture, you press a single button on your handlebar if you're riding a motorcycle or a bicycle or a snowmobile, for instance, even a jet ski. But if you're whitewater rafting or skateboarding or skiing and snowboarding, we have a wrist strap. So the concept is it's as widely used as other action sports products. However, there are little bits and pieces within the app and the overall ecosystem at large that are really great for certain individual use cases.
Got it. So I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Where do I order? What do I have to do to get a helmet? What do I have to do?
So right now we're on Indiegogo. Our campaign ends in just a few days, actually. I think next Friday is the actual end date of the campaign. So, for just over a week, the product will be available for a $200 discount on Indiegogo.com. If you would like to go to Fuser.com, you can click on the pre-order link. It takes you right to our pre-order page. The handlebar remote and our Bluetooth headset are going to be shipping in the first quarter of next year. Shameless plug. And Mohawk and the wrist strap will be shipping in Q3 of next year. The app will be available on iOS and Android also in Q1. So if you order the whole system, we're not going to make you wait until Q3 to get everything. We're going to send you the other stuff piecemeal as our shipments arrive. That way you can start playing with your system, start making your experience that much smarter, and then the final piece of the puzzle comes this summer.
Got it. Well, I've got to say, this is one of the more enjoyable podcasts we've done in a long time. I highly recommend everybody check out the website, FUSAR.com. It's incredibly well done, and I could foresee your product going well beyond action sports. I mean, I could see this being used in the world of first responders. Limitless, right? I mean, this is really quite an impressive. Have you been approached by any other organization so far, Ryan? I mean, or is it too early to say?
I think it's a little too early to say when certain things will happen, but I can tell you it's certainly on our radar. We're having conversations. You nailed it. First responders, law enforcement officers. There are even military applications for bits and pieces of what we're building. Before I said, if you're wearing a helmet in action sports, I want you to be my customer. And that's certainly true in the near term. In the long term, if you wear a helmet in general, I want you to be my customer. So there are avenues, secondary and tertiary markets that we do hope to penetrate in years to come.
Ryan, this was a pleasure. Fuser, we make any helmet smart. This is Tom Capone, Executive Director of the NYDLA, and this was another session of Coffee in the Clouds.